Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Anthony Herron on 670 The Score.
For the better part of the next 2 hours, I am your voice. This is Anthony Herron of Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Wishing everyone yet again a happy Independence Day coming off the 4th of July holiday. Hope everyone was safe, was festive yesterday, and had a grand old time looking at the sky light up in very productive and purposeful reasons, hopefully, for wherever you're at, wherever you may be listening from. But maybe you did a little grubbing, too. We don't always in my family make the 4th of July a big grilling holiday, a big dining holiday. It certainly happens on occasion, but it's not like Memorial Day where it's, you know, where we know every year we're likely to gather together and hit the grill on Memorial Day. 4th of July, it was a little bit hit or miss. Maybe, maybe not. This year was not a big cookout day for us yesterday on the 4th, but I know a lot of you did so and got it in. If you're like me, or at least like I used to be, we haven't done this in quite some time, but certainly when I was younger, it would cross the border, go over to Indiana, get the fireworks, find some secluded spot to set them off. Still a whole lot of that going on in and around the Chicagoland area. We haven't done that in a minute, especially with a young one who we have to keep wrangled. So he hasn't necessarily experienced a whole lot of family fireworks at this point in his young life, our six-year-old son. But that being said, we don't mind looking at him. We just didn't make it a point to do that yesterday because we did. We headed out to the burbs. We have recently purchased a home out there. We've been on the move, making some things happen. So yesterday was productive for us as a family, but that was just more so just trying to get the suburban homestead set up, you know, in a timely fashion. You know, trying to make sure we got things set by the end of this month, and then, you know, you're gonna have school starting in August. So we got some things to handle. We got some things to take care of. So yesterday was a productive day, but it wasn't necessarily there wasn't a lot of revelry, as one might say, for the 4th of July. But as we drove around to different spots, both in the city and in the burbs, we saw plenty of activity that was going on, both on the ground and in the night sky. So hope a lot of you were enjoying that as well. There's obviously plenty to enjoy the last couple of days from Cubs baseball here in town. Feels like a rather rare event to see consecutive games, consecutive days of quality baseball from the Northsiders. And so that is certainly a welcome sight to see. And it didn't start last time I was on a couple of days ago. Showtime was getting ready to take the mound, Shota Imanaga. They didn't come up with the dub that day against the Phils, but last couple of games here, they beat Philly yesterday, beat LA today. So 15 runs over the last two games for the Cubs. A strong sign. You know, you got still a lineup that's fairly banged up, but you got the bopper starting to bop a little bit, man. Ian Happ, extremely, extremely hot, and some timely hitting from Seiya Suzuki. That is a great spot for the Cubs to be in. Miles Mastroboni playing some exceptional defense, showcasing his versatility as well. And when you can combine offense with the defense and the pitching that we are seeing here, and the starting pitching has been there the entire season, of course, but now you got a combination here with some runs going on the board, some defense being played. I mean, that's as amongst a number of things that have been surprising about the Chicago Cubs squad, the most surprising of any of the metrics, any of the evaluation sort of, you know, avenues and categories for how we would view this Cubs team so far this season, the lackluster defense versus the standard of excellence that was expected from them, that's been the most surprising aspect of it. If you just take the entire picture of this Cubs season into account and just said, what's caught you off guard? What were you expecting that's the least similar to what you thought would be the case coming into this season? Is there an individual player who's shown more power, an individual pitcher who's struggled more, and an unknown player who's come out of nowhere more than anything else? A decision by the manager who you thought he was one thing when he came in, and it turns out he came into Chicago and he's something completely different. What is most different about this Cubs team, an individual, a category, a stat, than what you thought it would be? It is certainly the defense. And so you had multiple aspects of that. The offense has certainly struggled more than most of us anticipated, although the lack of true power in the lineup was something that got discussed a lot over the offseason. But if there was anything that we felt the Cubs would be able to hang their hat on, the starting pitching has been even better than advertised. But the Cubs' defense has struggled so much this year. And so you've had this combination, especially with Justin Steele on the mound, finally getting a dub. And there was a stat they threw up on the Marquee Network during the game saying that Justin Steele was the first pitcher since Ricky Clark in 68 to be winless through his first 12 starts with an ERA of 3.5 or lower. It's just not a milestone you expect a pitcher to hit, where he is throwing that well, holding the opposing offense down to that extent, and still not coming up with dubs. And you know, it gets talked about quite a bit here, the wins, losses, not necessarily a true indication of pitching success. But man, everybody likes wins in their ledger. You know, the statisticians are going to put the win or the loss there associated with the pitcher, and when they start the game, when they leave the game, what is the score while they're out there. So the numbers going up there one way or another. And to have Justin Steele pitching as well as he's been pitching here lately and to not have wins to show for it, I mean, the ERA leaders in Major League Baseball since May 27th, including today's start, minimum of 40 innings pitched. Got Hunter Brown from the Astros. You got Jake Irvin of the Nats. And Justin Steele, number three in the entire sport. 1.67 ERA Justin Steele has since May 27. That's the third best ERA in Major League Baseball, specifically since May 27th. And somehow, today is his first win. We know he got banged up earlier in the season, had to come back from that. Didn't look exactly like himself early. But here, over the last month, he has returned to form. He has been as succinct, as precise, as dominant as could have been hoped coming off of last season's performance, where he looked like, looked more so even like a Cy Young candidate. Looked like a guy who was in line to potentially win the Cy Young for a lot of last season. And now we see him returning to that form. But there's been so much excellence amongst the starting pitching for the Cubs this season that's gone unrequited because their offense has been so cold, so dormant, so moribund. And now you get back-to-back days with the ball leaving the park. Ian Happ, a couple home runs yesterday, a couple three-run shots, six RBI on the day for Ian Happ yesterday. You got Seiya Suzuki with a two-run blast today. It gave the Cubs the lead early, and they never looked back. You get a dominant pitcher, takes the mound with the lead, and it puts everyone in a position for success. And who knows, maybe it does even enhance. So I know especially the afternoon show, I know Spiegs has been talking about it a lot as of late, the additional, let's call it pressure, that gets felt when the lineup feels like they've got to, when the roster feels like they've got to play above their heads, when they've got to go beyond what they would normally be capable of, then perhaps the entire lineup is pressing because of that. And, you know, who knows how definitive that is, how true or not it might be. But is it potentially a factor? Sure. You know, it's hard to quantify, and it's hard to know for sure. if that matters, if that factors into what we've seen from the Cubs so far. But if the offense begins to roll, from my perspective, it's one thing if the defense turns a corner and then you have excellent starting pitching, and especially on the infield, where they should be elite defensively on the infield. And so if you get that, you get elite infield defense with exceptional starting pitching, then it is going to be difficult for the opposing lineup to score runs. There's no doubt about that. But if you are still, as a team, as an offense, if you're struggling to score runs, then you still only get so much out of that. So it's a great thing to now see back-to-back games where the Cubs are putting runs on the board, and that matters. And in my opinion, from my perspective, I think any aspect of the game that can take a leap here, approaching the trade deadline, all-star break on the way, if there's any aspect of the Cubs' struggles that the team will benefit most from taking a big step forward, it's certainly the offense and the power within the offense. Hitting the ball out of the yard, that's where it would seem to take pressure off of so many other aspects. You would hope that they haven't wasted this window of opportunity here through the first half of the season, and the starting pitching can continue to perform at least near, if not at, the level that we've seen the starting staff perform at so far. But then going beyond that, you know, if you don't continue to get all this gas from certain players and the depth into the rotation from others, I mean, a complete game we saw today from Justin Steele, first career complete game for him in his Major League Baseball career. To be able to see performances like that, if that can continue and you get some additional offense, then that's where this can be a team that begins to look like what they looked like in April and what we all thought they had a chance to become. And you know, they take the field tomorrow with a chance to do something they haven't done since the NFL draft. The Cubs haven't won three games in a row since April 26th. So prior to the NFL draft was the last time the Cubs had a three-game win streak going. They have an opportunity. They'll take the field at Wrigley tomorrow against LA yet again with a chance to now win their third consecutive game. And if you can at least do that, now it's a small thing, and that they're still going to be in last place in the Central. If that happens, if they win tomorrow's game, then it doesn't reverse the course of their season. But that, to me, will at least be an indication where we've seen them win back-to-back games a time or two here as of late. But you got some power going in the offense right now. You got a starting staff that's continuing to do big things. And if you get three in a row, now to me, that's a streak. I know a lot of different people view, you know, streaks as different things. I don't call anything a streak until it's happened for three consecutive days. So the Cubs get three in a row tomorrow. Now you can look at it and say, all right, maybe a corner is being turned here. They're not one of the best teams in baseball. Damn sure not the best team in the division if that ends up being the case here. But there's the potential. There's a possibility that the Cubs have turned a corner. So tomorrow to me is a really big day, really big game for the Cubs to now showcase that there's something truly cooking here. Or is it just going to be another back-to-back wins that ends in a thud, ends in a dud, ends in a series loss? We got to see this squad start to get to a point where they can stack performances, where they can get series wins, and that's where they can start to climb out of the cellar in the NL Central, where they have resided for now the better part of this season. There's potential it's going to happen, but today I found to be an exceptional sign, because now Justin Steele, well, Ian Happ smiling too, but Justin Steele is smiling as he leaves the mound. He gets his complete game. The offense showed some fireworks there. Yeah, wind is blowing out at Wrigley, but Cubs took advantage of it, and their starting pitcher did not allow the Angels to take advantage of it. So that's an exceptional sign for the Cubs, but it is a small sign within just sort of a microcosm of the full season here. But I will say this. I mentioned my guy Spiegs a few minutes ago. Ian Happ, now, you know, Spiegs, we talked about it a good bit on the afternoon show early in the season. He was all for Ian Happ getting sat down, and Craig Council made that decision, and it was supposedly he and Ian Happ talked about that in great detail at the time for exactly what that, you know, what the plan would be, how many games he would miss, and when he'd come back, and it was just a couple of games, and then he's back in, and he's looked better and better at times since he's been back. Hasn't been sustained necessarily, but I'm going to look at the last 2 days and basically say, suck on that, Spiegs. Told you Ian Happ shouldn't have been out the lineup. Now,
where's Spiegs?
That's right. That's right, Tyler Butterball. Where's Spiegs now? Talk to me about that, Matt Spiegel. Ian Happ out here driving the ball out the ballpark, getting hit after hit, making plays in the outfield, running these bases, both sides of the plate. That's the Ian Happ the Cubs need. Now, it can't just be Ian Happ, because he is not an individual who has shown himself capable throughout his major league career of being the level of offensive weapon, the degree of run producer that can carry an offense on his own. But you're getting a stretch here from Ian Happ, where now he's looking like that a little bit. If you can just supplement that, you get a stretch coming up here maybe from Seiya Suzuki. It's great to see him drive it out of the ballpark today. Then maybe get a stretch from Cody Bellinger, get a stretch from Dansby Swanson. Nico Horner just kind of, you know, in and out defensively, some base running, his athleticism, and some power and pop on display. Christopher Morel, I do think the expectations for Morel maybe have gotten a bit outsized just because of the exceptional talent and the excitement that he brings to the diamond. He's still a very young player, still an extremely inexperienced player. He's not a guy who's gotten a big contract yet or anything like that. So I don't think it would be fair, as we kind of discuss Christopher Morel, to sort of say he's one of the guys who's, you know, immensely let the Cubs down or anything versus the expectations coming in, because there's no reason to have him in the same ilk as some of these other names I just mentioned here, with guys who've been longer than tooth, who've made all-star games, who've gotten big contracts. But that being said, the talent and versatility that Christopher Morel possesses, it would be nice to see him sort of enter that echelon, at least for some brief stretches here, where maybe he shows himself as a dangerous bat, as a dangerous weapon. But right now, really pleased with what we're seeing from Ian Happ, and certainly the continuation of the starting staff that we're seeing just take the mound, start after start, doing big things for the Cubs. So great to see back-to-back games with offense, with dominant starting pitching. Got to keep that rolling, though. To me, tomorrow's a really big game for the Cubs. As I didn't mention earlier, we are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. We have guests on the show. They join us on the Score Hotline, presented by Circus Sports Illinois. Download the Circus Sports app today. And if any news breaks during the show, which we certainly have our ears to the ground in case anything happened, because you know Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan, we're going to talk a little bit of Bulls later in the show. If any news breaks on the Score, it is brought to you by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. I do want to put a question out to you guys, though. I was talking about 4th of July a little bit earlier. A lot of eating takes place, of course, on the 4th. Even though I didn't hit the grill yesterday like I did on Memorial Day, kind of feed the masses, as I plan to do more and more of with my suburban grill that we'll have access to once we make the full and official move to the burbs. But that being said, you know the hot dog contest happened yesterday. I am curious, because I've participated in a few eating contests in my own right. When I come back, I'm going to pose the question to my guy Tyler Butterball. I'm also going to pose the question to you, though. If you, as a competitor out there in Chicagoland, let's call you an athlete, a gurgitator, if you will, as they call all the folks out there in these eating contests. I am personally undefeated in eating contests. I've entered various types, shapes, and sizes over the years. I'll detail a little bit of that for you when I return here. But what would be the eating contest that you would dominate? Would it be pizza? Would it be burgers? Would it be hot dogs? Would it be spicy foods? Would it be mine? I don't know. But I am curious, because we just see this every 4th of July, where everybody kind of gets glued to the television set, paying attention to the Nathan's crowd. But if it wasn't Nathan's hot dogs, what eating contest would you dominate? I know which one tops my list. It's one that I've had a lot of success with in years past. It's probably a little bit different than yours, though. 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. I'm curious for you. If you were in an eating contest, or perhaps you have been in an eating contest before, what is your food of choice? What meal would you dominate most if you were in an eating challenge? Very curious about that. We'll get back to some Bulls talk, some Cubs talk later on in the show, as well as I take you up to 6 p.m. I'm Anthony Herron, my guy Tyler Butteball on the ones and twos. This is Chicago Sports Radio.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
70 the score.
We're back live with more Anthony Herron on 670 the score in Odyssey Station.
And the winner is Patrick Bertoletti, 58, Nathan's Famous, hot dogs and buns. Patrick Bertoletti, 58, hot dogs and buns, a personal best for him, a very hard-fought battle. Patrick, how do you feel? Incredible performance. I've never seen you so in sync. How do you feel?
It was all focused today, no mohawk. Just hot water, and I wasn't going to stop eating until the job was done.
That's how it sounded yesterday. Just focus. No mohawk for Patrick Bertoletti. He got it in. Got 58 of them in. Crushed 58 hot dogs. He was the men's winner. And so took home his very first Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Competition Championship. Mickey Sudo won on the women's side of things. Now, she broke the women's world record that she previously set with 51 hot dogs in yesterday's competition. So not a big difference between the men and the women and the dogs they're taking down there. But that being said, I mentioned this before the break here. There's some hilarious responses coming in on the text line about this at 312-644-6767. I put the question out to you. What eating contest would you dominate? Because this basically comes up every 4th of July. Now, 4th of July isn't the only time I've ever watched an eating contest, but it's certainly the date on the calendar I have most frequently watched them. But I myself have participated in a number of eating contests and also attempted various eating challenges over the years. Up to this point, I'm undefeated. Never lost. Now, I don't know, Tyler Butteball, if you are a big eating challenge kind of guy, if you tend to attempt these things when you dine out. But for me, I do love, and I don't do it as frequently now that I'm in my 40s as I did when I was a younger man and I burned more calories on a daily basis. But I'm still not scared to go out there and take down an eating challenge. For me, hamburgers are the ones that I've been most effective at over the years, partially because those are the ones when you go to a restaurant, they'll most frequently have some sort of a hamburger eating challenge. And so those are the ones I've just mowed down over and over again. But the, you know, whether it's hot dogs, hamburgers, pizza, I've attempted a number of these and I have never, ever lost when challenged with a very specific eating threshold that I have to hit in a certain amount of time or a certain quantity of food to be able to take down. Over and over again, I continue to dominate these things, man. So I was talking about records for starting pitchers in baseball. You definitely got to track your record when it comes to eating challenges. And for the moment, I'm undefeated. Tyler Butteball, have you ever in your days attempted an eating challenge?
Yeah, so back in like elementary school, there was a Jell-O eating contest.
Oh boy.
And I did not do good. I had like very high hopes that I was going to be like dominating this. But no, I got my butt whooped. And it was like, because I was trying to decide, I'm like, okay, with Jell-O, like, do you just like swallow this thing whole or do you like actually take the time to chew on it? But like, as a kid at the time, like the texture was just like, it grossed me out and I almost yacked. So I think that because of that, I haven't done an eating contest since. But if there was one that I can do right now that I believe that I can dominate in would be Chips Ahoy cookies.
Oh,
I can down like almost a whole package of those cookies in one sitting.
I like that. I like that one. That's a good one. Like Ritz crackers might be one as well. If I have a couple of Ritz crackers, it's just like I'll eat a whole sleeve without thinking anything of it. Like especially when my mom would make this this tuna salad that she used to make back in the day, and I'll just start, you know, getting some Ritz crackers and dipping it into my mom's tuna salad. And before I know it, man, like not one of the mini sleeves, not one of the health conscious sleeves that they tend to sell now in the mini packs. I'm talking about one of the big, long sleeves of Ritz crackers. Or if I make up some chili these days, I make some chili and just crush up a whole sleeve of Ritz crackers in a big, massive bowl of chili. So I can eat Ritz crackers all day, whether it is accompanied by some sort of a dip or a soup or a chili, or if it's just by itself. I did it the other night. It was kind of late night. We ate dinner a little bit earlier just to get our son to bed, and I just grabbed some Ritz crackers and just started mowing those things down just because I was a little bit hungry late at night. There are some responses on the text line at 312-644-6767. Someone from the 773 says, thin crust frozen pizzas. I can eat so many. I'm with you on that one. Someone from the 630 says, I would probably dominate a spicy food eating contest. One of those people who really enjoys that type of challenge and often get looked at as some kind of funny being that I may be a smaller person. So the spice is really my main kryptonite when it comes to food. I can handle a certain degree of spice, but I'm not one of these people. I come from a long line of spicy food eaters, by the way, but I can do some spice. You know, you throw some jalapenos in something, I can handle it. But I'm not one of these people looking to be judged by the Kelvin scale, you know, whatever it is that they use for all the different spices, kind of measuring how hot something is. That's not really my thing, man. But you put a little bit of spice in there, I can enjoy it. You start going beyond that and I'm sweating while I'm eating or having to sip milk in between. To me, that's an additional portion of the challenge that I don't really enjoy.
So you've never done the B-Dubs Blazing Challenge?
No, I've heard about it. And I know, I know a couple of people who've done it who really like spicy food that haven't been able to get to the peak, whatever that peak sauce is, you know, the ghost pepper or ghost chili or whatever they got there. I know a couple of people who've tried to get to that peak and haven't been able to get all the way there to the top of it at B-Dubs. But no, it's something I would go in knowing I'm not going to make it there. So I would just be putting myself through a certain level of suffering for no reason at all. It just doesn't really seem like it's going to be worth it, in my opinion. Let's go out to the phone lines, though. 312-644-6767. The Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Ryan is out in Wisconsin. I want to talk about his eating exploits and what may be there for the attempts that have been made at large quantities of food. What's happening, Ryan?
How's it going, buddy?
Not too bad, man.
In Wisconsin, a lot of county fairs, and sweet corn's a big thing we grow around here, so they always have the local competitions, and I got the technique down. You got to do it quarter at a time on the sweet corn. Three turns, four sides, and rip. My best is 30 in 10 minutes.
Whoa! So that sounds like quite a workout for the jawbone, by the way. And no jokes out there. No need to pause. But
you got to get good choppers, that's for sure.
yeah. It does seem like that may, you know, almost like if you start to get like carpal tunnel in the wrist or something like that when you haven't been doing a lot of writing or typing lately. And next thing you know, your hand is starting to cramp up. I feel like trying to consume that many corn cobs, regardless of how sweet they are, but trying to consume that many corn cobs at one time, 30 in a 10-minute span, that's almost like a typewriter. I know I got a lot of folks out there right now. Like, I'm in my 40s, so I'm old enough to remember as a kid just watching people use real typewriters. So it's a similar concept with keyboards that a lot of folks have out there now. But when you think about old typewriters, what used to happen, you'll still hear it every once in a while in like a when you listen to a coach's post-game press conference and you hear folks just pounding away at the keys. What's missing to that post-game sound these days when you still hear people tick-attacking away at the keys. But what used to be there back in the day with the old-school scribes, you would get to the end of a line with an old-school typewriter, and you'd hear this ding, and then they would slide the typewriter. It would make this almost like a ripcord sound when they would push it back to the other direction to get to the next line of text that they're going to type. You don't hear that sound anymore because it's not the 1940s, and we have more modern equipment and technology to be able to use these days. But that's what I picture when I picture the speed chomping that Ryan from Wisconsin was talking about there with sweet corn. I do love sweet corn. I can consume it, I suppose, probably in mass quantities, but I don't know that I could eat it really fast. It's one of my issues. I'm too precise as an eater. I pay too close of attention to how I'm trying to dine. That's one of my problems with ribs. I love eating ribs, but I try not to get real messy when I eat them. So the biggest struggle I've had was the one time I've entered a rib eating contest. I started off real slow, and then I just had to sort of convince myself to get messy for the comeback win. But it did take some convincing in the midst of the contest to say that I don't need to just hold the ribs with two fingers on this side and two fingers on that side. I said, you know what? Grab it with the whole hand, slide it off the bone. This is tender. It's saucy. Just go ahead and get it in. I made a rather dramatic comeback and had a victory in my undefeated food contest career, I suppose we would call it. We can come back around to that topic a little bit later in the show as well, especially because of a couple other hilarious texts I want to circle back to also. But I promised we would talk some hoops and talk some Bulls here. And there's been some things brewing, as you know, between the Bulls and DeMar DeRozan, the Bulls and Zach LaVine. What's next? Perhaps. What's not next in some of these conversations and where things sit with the career? We'll recount that. And there have been from some of the top newsmakers and the top story breakers in the NBA, in and around the NBA, some thoughts that have been shared here that we'll update you on, make sure we get some of that sound from Tyler to run for us. So I'm taking time out. Come right back at the top of the hour. We'll talk some Bulls next on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Nore Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nore Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nore.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.